Thank you so much. Now, will you take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We want to pick up reading where we left off reading last time, in the middle of verse 9, and I ask that you keep your Bible open on your lap or your side as my sermon is points will be coming from that text. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, why don't you reach right in front of you, get one of those black pew Bibles. It's exactly like the one I preached to you from. And turn with us to page number 1354. You'll find yourself at our text for the day. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. You know, if you're still having trouble finding Colossians, I'll repeat it again. It's as old as the dust under my bed, and that's no reflection on Amy at all. But if you can remember Gentiles eat pork chops, you can remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So after the book of Philippians. Or Georgia Electric Power Company, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so I hope you found Colossians 3, verse 9. You're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding from God's holy, inspired Word. Now I want to begin by giving you the title to the message, and that is Spiritual Clothes. And this is intentional because this passage of Scripture is filled with clothing terminology. For instance, we see the expression put on and put off in verses 9 and 10. Or it might be, instead of put off, lay aside in your copy of God's Word, or take off. What it is talking about is disrobing. And so there are certain things that we should be rid of as far as old nature clothing, and certain things that we should put on that are brand new clothes provided to us by Jesus Christ. Now, we might be more familiar with the spiritual armor mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, tells us that we are to put on. But I think just as important are those spiritual clothes listed here that go on underneath that spiritual armor, and they're every bit as important as we dress ourselves with the clothes that Christ has provided for us from his death on the cross of Calvary. Well, I want us to go ahead and read verses 9 and 10, beginning in the middle of verse 9. Remember, we covered that first expression in verse 9 when it says, do not lie to one another. Those are some of the public sins listed in verse 8. And to remind you again, the chapter divisions and the verse numbers are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're put there by man. But here's the new thought that goes with today's text in Scripture in the middle of verse 9. It says, you have put off, or your Bible might say, taken off or laid aside, all terms of disrobing, the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. And you have put on. You see, I've taken something off, and now I'm putting on something, and that is the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know, the irony of this is there are Christians, blood-bought Christians with Jesus living in their heart that are still wearing the old clothes, the old lifestyle of a lost and unredeemed person, instead of the new clothes that Jesus has provided for them by their grace. What is your lifestyle? Does it reflect a lost person's behavior more than it does a Christian's behavior? Well, it's time to disrobe today and to put on something that is new and full of grace from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our world is filled with fashion ironies. Here's one of them. People who wear yoga pants who have never been to yoga. Have you seen these people before? Here's another fashion irony. A woman who says she has two problems: nothing to wear and no room in her closet. Here's another fashion irony. I've personally seen this before. A petite women's section in a clothing boutique that advertises, we make petites in large sizes. You talk about an irony, that definitely is one. Here's another one. A men's relaxed fit jeans section in a department store where the sales associate tells the potential customer, if you buy five pairs, we throw in a recliner and a TV remote for free. Mister, that's why you need relaxed fit jeans to begin with. Here's another fashion irony. A fashionable ladies' shoe store where the clerk shows the customer an extremely high pair of high heel pumps and says, this style comes with a complimentary podiatrist appointment. And finally, I want to ask you this question. Why do golfers wear two pair of pants? Well, it's in case they get a hole in one. There's an incongruity here that I'll have to explain to some of you. They wear two pair of pants for, in one case, they get a hole, like a perforation in one pair of pants, so they need the other pair, or they need a second pair of pants if they actually do score an ace in a single stroke on a hole. That's why golfers wear two pairs of pants. And those are some of the fashion incongruities. But I want you to know, when it comes to spiritual clothes, there are as many fashion ironies. And I want to read verses 9 and 10 again, where we see, number one in your notes, that we should dress the part. Look at it there, beginning in the middle of verse 9, where it says, you have put off or laid aside or taken off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Jesus wants us believers to be wearing the new clothes that he has purchased for us through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. Yet there are Christians this morning that when they got ready to begin their day, went to their spiritual clothes closet, and instead of choosing the new apparel to wear today, they picked out some of the old faded clothes. Men have problems with this in particular. Ladies, does your husband have that favorite t-shirt? You know the one I'm talking about? The one that's 10, 20, maybe 30 years old, and he just can't get rid of it, and you keep on threatening to throw it out. Well, ladies are just as bad. They have, along with men too, in their closets, clothes that don't fit anymore, toes that are too little, clothes that are too big. But why do we keep on hanging on to these things? Our closets are filled with things that are old, that need to be given away to someone that can actually wear them, someone that can actually appreciate them. There are men here that have ties that are older than their children, and you keep on hanging on to these things, and that is a picture of a saved man or a saved woman who keeps on dressing themselves in the old lifestyle, the old habits, the old behavior of when they were lost and unredeemed without Christ, instead of putting on the new clothes that Jesus has purchased for them on the cross of Calvary. Oh, dear friend, if you're a Christian, you need to dress the part. But not just dress the part. Go into the next verse, verse number 11, where in your note it says, one size fits all. This is a very important point. Chapter 3, verse 11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your age, your race, your religious background, your heritage. This is what Paul is saying here. No matter how different you might be, no matter how many skeletons are in your closet that you're using as an excuse to say, the robe of righteousness that Jesus is wanting to put on my back won't fit. Friend, that is not true. Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is everybody. God so loved the world, all the different sizes, all the different shapes, all the different backgrounds, all the different life histories, all the different ethnicities. He loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that tells me? Spiritually, one size fits all. God's got a robe of righteousness that will fit you and the person next to you and the person across the world. You don't have to do anything different except believe on him, receive him by grace and by faith, trust him and not yourself. One size fits all. That's why we preach a whosoever will gospel. The Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever, that means anybody, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're sitting in this building today and you're lost without Jesus and you're saying, well, that new piece of clothing that Jimmy's talking about, it would never fit on me. I am unfittable when it comes to the new clothes of being a Christian. That is not true. Because whosoever, even in this service today, will call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, my background is different. My history is different. Everything about me is different. But I know that you died for me. And the same robe that fits on that Christian's body and her Christian body and his Christian body will fit on me. One size fits all. That's what verse 11 is talking about. Now we get into the specific pieces of apparel that are to be worn by a Christian. And we're going to begin as you began this morning. We've taken off the pajamas. We've taken off the bathrobe. And now we're ready, and we're ready for the undergarments. And you're going to see why I call these undergarments as we go through this list in verse 12. First listed is tender mercies, or your Bible might say compassion. Let me tell you what this word means in the original language of the Bible. It means bowels. That's right. As a matter of fact, some of you have a translation that says the bowels of mercy. Where are the bowels in the physical body? They are in the midsection of the body. They're deep inside our body. They are embedded in our body. And that's what this word, tender mercies or compassion, means. It means that we need to have a heart of compassion. We see someone hurting and it's a deep down feeling. It's a feeling in your gut for someone. It's the same kind of feeling that Jesus had in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When he was out looking at the multitude and he saw them, that they were weary. And the Bible says that he had compassion, same word as here. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That word compassion, same as here, is the Greek word splankgizomai. And by it means bowels. You know where Jesus felt compassion when he saw these people without a shepherd? He felt it right here. He felt it in the pit of his stomach. He felt it deep down in his heart. I want to ask you today, Christian, is there someone you know today that is desperately in need of your compassion? Someone that desperately needs to have the tender mercies of God extended to them? You won't be able to do it if you don't have that undergarment of tender mercy and compassion. Continuing with what I call this list of undergarments is kindness in verse 12. There's some overlap here between compassion, tender mercies, and kindness. The line's kind of blurred between these two, but it is the same as compassion in that it is an unadvertised virtue. We don't advertise our undergarments, or at least some people don't advertise their undergarments. We put them under our street clothes. And you find a person that is always bragging on how kind they are, you can know that they are not kind, because a kind person does not promote themselves. We were so blessed, Amy and I were, this last Wednesday night at the end of our Wednesday night meal, to be sitting at the table, and Juanita Killingsworth, our very gifted Wednesday night cook, came out after the delicious meal we enjoyed, and she sat down with Amy and me, and she told us about her week and what was coming up. And she told us, you know, as I already knew, Katie Ann had told me, her daughter Katie Ann told me, that she's going to be turning 18 on May 15th. And Juanita told us that Katie Ann has been writing a book. She's been writing a book on things that she wants to do as an adult. And the one thing that Juanita mentioned to us from that book that Katie Ann has written about what she wants to be like as an adult is to be kind to everyone. You know what? We need some more Katie Ann Killingsworths here at First Baptist Noonan. We need some more people who are girded with kindness toward one another. I want to ask you, do you know someone that is in desperate need of kindness today? They're always in the back of the pack. No one sits with them in the lunchroom. They're not in with the crowd. They are just kind of out there by themselves. You, as a Christian, need to show compassion and tender mercy toward them, because Jesus has shown it to you. You need to feel it right here, deep down inside of yourself, and then you need to do something about it. You need to pray right now, God, show me some way today or tomorrow at the latest that I can be kind to that person that has received so many unkind acts toward them. Still in verse 12, another unpromoted virtue, that's why I list it here with undergarments, is humility. As a matter of fact, no one promotes that they are humble except people that aren't humble. You know, a few Sundays ago, we talked about false humility. And if someone wears their humility on a sleeve, to use the garment illustration, for everyone to see, look how humble I am, you can know for sure that person's not humble. You can know for sure that they need a good dose of humility. You know, the interesting thing about this word humble is that in the classical Greek, they don't have a word for humble. The Greeks didn't have a word for humble because they believed it didn't exist. I'll go one better than that. The Greeks despised humility. It was not a virtue that was taught at home. It was not an attribute that was taught in the classroom. The last thing you wanted to be in the Greek culture was a humble person. But we know that Jesus was humble, and we know that we are to follow his example of humility. You know, the Greek culture said, you need to be out front. You need to lead the charge. You need everybody to notice you. That's the way the Greeks did it, and that's the way we do it today. Even that culture has found its way into the Church of the Living God. But we're not wearing spiritual clothes if we don't have that unadvertised, unpromoted virtue of humility. How are you doing on these undergarments? Well, let's go on. Next piece of apparel in verse 12. To be meek or to be gentle. This again is an unpromoted, unadvertised attribute. You find someone that is wearing a medal of meekness on their chest for everyone to see. Look how meek I am. You can be guaranteed that person is not meek. Because a truly meek person does not advertise it. Jesus said of himself, I am meek and lowly. You want to know a good definition of meekness? Here it is being willing to suffer injury rather than inflict it. Has somebody done you wrong at school? Has somebody done you wrong at work? Has a business done you wrong in your own personal dealings with them? Has a person done you wrong and you have the assets to do them injury? And you have the mindset right now to do them injury? A truly meek person will take on the injury rather than inflict it. Jesus is our example there. As he hung on the cross of Calvary, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world, to level it, and to set him free. But he endured the injury so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer it. A truly meek person who is someone who says, if there's someone here that has to suffer, if anybody here has to suffer, let it be me. Let it be me. Does that describe you? You know, meekness is described as an attribute in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. People think meekness is weakness. It is not. A wild horse is broken by its master so that a saddle can be put on its back and a bit in its mouth and reins on that bit, and that master can now control that horse just with a twitch of his hand, a pull of his hand. But that horse has not lost one bit of its strength and its power. It is just under control of the master. It has been made meek. Are you wild with power and you want everybody to know it? Then you are not meek. You need to get some undergarments, some unadvertised virtues listed here. Finally, in verse 12, there's long-suffering, or it might be the word patience in your copy of God's Word. Such a person is a well-centered person. They keep frustration with other people in other situations deep down inside of them. They don't go around complaining about this person or about this situation to anybody that will hear. They will not go around sowing seeds of discord about this situation or this person or these groups of people that are causing them heartburn or that are doing wrong. They just endure it in long suffering and in patience. It's not something that you will see them visibly displaying. It's something that is deep, deep down inside of them. Do you possess these undergarments? Well, if you don't, you're not ready for the street clothes. And they're listed in verse 13. Look in verse 13 of your copy of God's Word, Colossians 3, verse 13. It's a very simple list of street clothes here, clothes that we wear in public. And thinking of clothes that we wear in public, compare this thought with the thought of last week when we talked about private sins and public sins. Just to give you a reminder, last week in verse 5, it said, these are the things we should put to death. And it gave us a sample list, not an exhaustive list, of private sins. I'm reading in verse 5. I put these to death in your members, which are on the earth. Fornication, remember how one inspires the other, which is inspired by uncleanness, which is inspired by passion and evil desire, which is inspired by covetousness, which is idolatry. All of this, that's self-worship instead of worshiping God. All this is deep down inside of you. It is private, and it's to be put to death. And then he goes from that private list of sins to this public list of sins beginning in verse 8. He says, but now you yourselves are to put off. Oh, there's that clothing imagery again. Put off all these, and these are just samples of public sins. Anger, which leads to wrath, which leads to malice, which leads to blasphemy or slander, which leads to filthy language of your mouth, which leads to first part of verse 9, lying to one another. So there are private sins and there are public sins. We shouldn't be surprised that in this list of spiritual clothes, there are those private clothes that are not advertised. They're just done. And then there are the public street clothes. This is how you're known in the street. This is how you're known at school. This is how you're known at work. This is how you're known in the public square. So looking there again now in verse 13 of Colossians chapter 3. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. I want to ask you a question, believer. Is there somebody that just gives you a pain you can't locate? Might be another believer that give you all kinds of heartburn every time you're around them. They've done you wrong. They've mistreated you. To go back to this public list, they've slandered you. They have blasphemed you. Is there somebody like that in your life? Maybe a lot of somebodies. Well, if you have the right kind of street clothes, you're going to bear with them and you're going to forgive them. You have no choice but to forgive them. Why? Because it says here in verse 13, Christ has forgiven you. Who are you to withhold forgiveness when Jesus has showered his forgiveness and pardon upon you? Finally, there is our outerwear as described in verse 14. Do you see how this flows? Your undergarments, okay, once you got your undergarments on, they're undergarments that you don't advertise. I know there's a few stars today that wear their undergarments on top of their street clothes, but you know, that's not right. So undergarments, then street clothes, now your outerwear. And again, clothing terminology here in verse 14, right at the beginning. Look at this. But above all, or your Bible might say, over all these virtues, these undergarments, these street clothes. In other words, you've got on your undergarments, you've got on your street clothes. Now it's time to put on the outerwear. Over all of these things, above all of these things. In biblical day imagery, it would be like a robe. You'd put a robe on and you'd have a belt that went through three holes in that robe. And once you had your undergarments on, your street clothes on, you put on this robe. And the last thing you did was tighten this belt, and it held everything together. In modern day terms, we think of it as an overcoat. And so what is this outerwear that's going to hold all of these things together? Keep everything securely in place. Well, verse 14. But above all, or over all, this goes on top of everything. These things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. In other words, you're not going to be able to do any of these things. You're not going to be able to wear any of these clothes if you're not motivated by love. It's just that simple. Is there someone here today that you need to extend the love of Christ to? Maybe not here. Maybe at school, maybe at work, maybe in the neighborhood, maybe your family. The last several months, I have been visiting a couple of inmates in our Coweta County Jail. One of them is a very young man in his 20s. The last time I visited him, he tearfully told me that he had received a visit from a medical doctor there in the jail. And the doctor, looking at a problem that he was having, an internal problem in both of his legs, said, you need a new pair of tennis shoes. Well, when you're put in the Coweta County Jail, you are issued what are, for lack of a better term, slippers, which don't provide much support. And so this doctor said, if you can find someone on the outside that will buy you some new tennis shoes, that will greatly help your medical problem. And so the last time I visited this young inmate, he tearfully told me about the pain that he was having in his legs. He says, I don't have anyone else I can ask on the outside. He said, my father's dead. I don't know where my mother is. I have one sister and she's got six kids and she works a couple of jobs. It's everything she can do just to take care of those kids. So I have no one I can ask. He said, I wonder, Pastor Patterson, would you buy me some tennis shoes? And so this last Wednesday, I went and I bought this young inmate some tennis shoes and took them to the Coweta County Jail, gave them to the guard, and was not able to see this young inmate that day, but oh, how I would have loved to have seen the expression on his face when he put on those brand new pair of tennis shoes. Do you need some new shoes today? Do you need some new clothes today? They're available right here, right here. You don't have to do anything else except one thing. You're going to have to take off. You're going to have to put aside, lay aside, the old clothes, the old behavior of a lost person so that you can receive the new clothes that Christ has for you today. You can do it right now as we bow our heads together. You know, there's some of us that need a brand new start today. And maybe you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've never put on that robe of righteousness because you thought it would never fit. It would never fit someone like me. I would not fit in that church. I would not fit in any church. Friend, it will fit because Jesus died for someone just like you. One size fits all. And he, by his grace, is trying to put that robe on your back at this moment. Won't you receive it by faith? There are some here today that need a brand new start with a church home. Oh, you've made all kinds of excuses for not joining and for not making that commitment. You know what you need to do today? When we stand up in a few moments, you need to lay aside those old clothes of excuses and walk to the front of this church, say, God's calling me to be a part of this church. Maybe you're saved, maybe you're even a member of this church, but just doing a little inventory of your spiritual closet today, there's a lot of old stuff in there. And you might be wearing some of that old stuff today, and you need to get rid of it. And you need to start new with Jesus. With new clothes today. So, Father, in this moment, during this your invitation, we pray that you would do the thing for us that we could never do for ourselves. Father, that you would give the grace and the courage to those who need a new start. And Father, as you do that, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.